Right, today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Zayin. We left off in Daf Tzadi Vavam Beis. We were discussing the Shulchan. So the Gemara had said that the Shulchan took for granted that the Shulchan has to be Mekabel Tuma. And the whole question was, where was the rim around the Shulchan? Did it have a base kibble? Did it not have a base kibble? And what can you derive from there about regular Peshutei Kliyets? But the assumption was that it had to be Mekabel Tuma. So the Gemara had asked yesterday, well, wait a second, how can the Shulchan be Mekabel Tuma? After all, it's a Kliyets Ha'asui. It's a Kli Eitz that's supposed to sit there and not be moved. And the Gemara said, no, sometimes it's moved because they pick it up to show the Olei Regalim, to show them the Lechem, show them how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them, that the Lechem is still fresh after all this time, after spending a week on the Shulchan, that it's still fresh. And we had the discussion how the people were able to see that it's fresh. After all, that's not something that you can see visually. But anyway, that's the Gemara. That was the Gemara from yesterday. So ask the Gemara now, well, wait a second, there's a better way to know that the Shulchan is Mekabel Tuma. Now you do the Kli Eitz Asa L'Nachas. We're trying to figure out if it's Kli Eitz Asa L'Nachas, how could it be Mekabel Tuma? Who says it's Kli Eitz? It starts out as wood, but then they cover it in gold. So what status does that have? Does that have the din of a Kli Eitz? Or does that have the din of Kli Mateches of gold? So Frek the Gemara. So says the Gemara, we're about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines before the end of the page, Sadi Vav and Beis. V'teip Kli Mishum Tzipui. Why don't you pay attention to the fact that it's lined with gold, and therefore that's mateches, and that's we never have any din of a kli mateches. That's also the nachas. That there's no such din about, because we never compare mateches to sak. The whole din of kli etz also the nachas was based on the comparison to sak. We said masak metaltal malivarekan. So too kli etz has to be metaltal malivarekan in order to have a din of kli etz. But it's not. But mateches never has such a comparison to sak. Milo tnan. After all, don't we have a Mishnah that tells us about, in general, when you line a kli with metal, or with any other material? The Mishnah tells us hashulchan va'adulbaki shenifchasu oshechifan b'shayish, that if you were to line it with marble v'shir ben makom menachas kosos tmein, and you leave a certain part that's not lined, you leave the amount of space that you need to put down some kosos, then it would still be tamei. Rabbi Yehuda omer makom menachas chatichos, that no, you need to leave enough space to put down chatichos, not to put down kosos, in order for it to still have a status of a kli etz and to still be tameh. But what do you see from there? Shear in, lo shear, lo. That it's only if you left over some space, you didn't completely cover it. But if you completely cover it, if you completely plate the entire kli with marble, so then it's not going to be mekabel tuma, because the marble's not mekabel tuma. So it would have a din of a kli of marble. So the same thing should be true of the shulchan. Granted, it starts out as a kli etz, but once you completely plate it with gold, so now it should have a din of a kli mateches. Now it should have a din of gold, and memela it should be mekabel tuma because of the tzipui, and that will completely make irrelevant the entire discussion about a kli etz asa l'nachas and how that relates to the shulchan, because it's not a kli etz at all; it's a kli mateches. That is the way Rov Rishonim understand the Gemara's question, that the shulchan should be mekabel tuma because of the tzipui zav that's on it. That through that it has a din of a kli mateches, not a kli etz. That just like we find that the tzipoy has the ability, you could be makel based on the tzipoy and be mevatel the din of tumah. So kol shekain, with the koach hatzipoy, you could be machmir and give a din of tumah. That's how the Rov Rishonim, and by Rov Rishonim, I mean Rashi and Tosos over here, and in Maseches Chagiga Chavavim Beis, the Ravid in the fourth parak of Hilchas Kalim also explains like that. However, the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchas Kalim seems to understand the Gemara's question differently. He seems to understand that Tzipoy Zav that's on the Shulchan should be Mafkia Mimenu Milekabel Tuma, that it should take away the ability to be Mekabel Tuma. Because the Shitas Rambam is that a Tzipoy in general is not Mekabel Tuma, meaning the Rambam saying, you're right, it shouldn't have a din of Kli Eitz, that's also Nachas or not also Nachas, shouldn't have a din of Kli anything, shouldn't have a din of Kli Eitz, nor a Kli Matechas, shouldn't be Mekabel Tuma at all. That's how the Rambam seems to understand the Gemara's question, that instead of talking about whether it's Kli Eitz also Lenachas or not, it shouldn't be Mekabel Tuma at all. But Pashup Shad is that we're suggesting that it should be Mekabel Tuma, that because of the Tzipoy, it should have a din of Kli Matechas, and therefore it should be Mekabel Tuma. So the Gemara is going to suggest a variety of answers as to why we don't consider it a Kli Eitz just on the basis of the Tzipoy. The Gemara is going to suggest three answers. We'll reject the first two and stick with the third answer. Answer number one. Maybe it depends what kind of tzipoy it is. That maybe that when we say that you follow the tzipoy, you follow the plating in terms of determining the status of the kli, that's with a plating that's kavua with nails and it's attached. But the plating on the shulchan was not as kavua. It wasn't attached with nails. It just sort of covered the table, and therefore maybe that would not you would not change the status of the shulchan into a kli mateches by virtue of its gold plating. So the Gemara, is that really tshuva? B'aminei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan b'tzipoy omed or b'tzipoy she'eino omed b'shechifa es levazvazin or b'shelchifa es levazvazin. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan a couple of shilas about this whole din of tzipoy, that which we say that you follow the plating to determine the status of the kli. He said, is that true only of a tzipoy omed or even of a tzipoy she'eino omed? Is that true when you cover the rim or even if you don't cover the rims of the kli? Do you still follow the tzipoy to determine the status of the kli? That was the shaila Rish Lakish asked. For Amarle, and Rabbi Yochanan answered him, Loshna tzipoy omed v'loshna tzipoy she'eino omed. Loshna chifas levazvazin, loshna lo chifa levazvazin. So Rabbi Yochanan's answer was, doesn't make a difference. Tzipoy omed, tzipoy she'eino omed, doesn't make a difference. So where are we now? Our Gemara asked, well, maybe the Shulchan Shavidin of a kli matachas, because it has a plating, it has a gold plating. Whereas, nah, because maybe there's a difference, maybe it's a weaker level gold plating. But Rabbi Yochanan paskined that all gold platings are the same, that you would always follow the din of the plating, whether it was gold plating that was attached, that was omed, or was not omed. So rather, the Gemara has to go on to a second answer as to why we don't just assume the Shulchan has din of kli mateches as a result of its plating. So answer number two, maybe it's not a question of how chashuv the plating is, whether the plating is omed or not. Maybe it's an issue of how chashuv that which is being plated is. Meaning, to say that you're going to follow the plating to determine the status of the kli is saying that the plating is so chashuv it overwhelms the original kli. So that for that you need two things. You need a chashuv plating, but you also need a very non-chashuv kli, something that's easily overwhelmed. So we tried with the plating first to say maybe there's a difference between how chashuv plating is. We rejected that. So now we're going on the other side. We're saying, what about the kli? Maybe there's a difference between a kli that itself was very chashuv to begin with, and such a kli is not easily overwhelmed and will not have its status easily changed, and a kli that wasn't very chashuv to begin with, which is more easily overwhelmed. So says Gemara, maybe that's the difference, that the shulchan is made out of atzei shittim, that's very chashuv, it's not going to be batel just because you plate it with gold. So says Gemara, hanichal reish lakish, damar lo shanu al b'kli aksalgus haba'im yimidina siyama b'kli masmas chashivi v'lobatli shapir. That works very well according to Reish Lakish, who makes just such a chilik between different types of wood, that if the wood is a very chashuv wood, then we would not follow the status of the plating, but if the wood is not a chashuv wood, we would follow the status of the plating. So that works out great. You would say that the shulchan is such a chashuv wood that we would not be able to follow the status of the plating. The shulchan would still have a din of a kliyetz. El Rabbi Yochanan, number kli masmas nami batli ma'ikal meimar. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even a kli masmas, which is apparently a very chashuv wood, it's still going to be batel and still going to follow the status of the plating, then how are you going to explain why the shulchan has a din of a kliyetz? Because apparently even something that's a very chashuv wood, when it's plated with something with metal, it has a din of a kli mateches. So we're back to square one. Why does the shulchan have a status of kliyetz? So here's the third answer. And this is the answer the Gemara sticks with. Shiny shulchan derachmona karya eitz. The shulchan is different because the Torah is megala to us that it is called a kli eitz. Shemar mizbech eitz sholosh amos kavoa orchu shtayim amos umksol slo v'arko v'kiros of eitz v'aydabre elai zeh shulchan ha-shalefnei Hashem. So that's the pasuk in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel is describing how Hashem shows him the mizbeach and gives him the measurements, and he says zeh hashulchan asher lefnei Hashem. So pasuk b'mizbeach v'siyim b'shulchan. Wait a second, but the pasuk itself doesn't make any sense because the pasuk starts out by describing the mizbeach and then says zeh hashulchan. He says here's the mizbeach. This is the description of the mizbeach, and this is the shulchan. Mizbeach is not the same as shulchan. So b'yachon rablaz v'damit arvay b'zman shbeis mishkaya mizbeach mechaper al adam. That's just alluding to the fact that typically when the Beis HaMikdash was around, so where did a person get his kapara from the Mizbeach? Now that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around, where does a person get his kapara? He gets his kapara from his own shulchan, from his own table. That's where a person can find his kapara. What does it mean you get your kapara from your own table? So many of the Rishonim suggest, the Rashi in Dibur Maschul Shulchan, or Rabbeinu Gershom and Tosfos, they all say that Shulchan Mechapra Lav is referring to the tzedakah that you give, to giving a prusa la'ani. That's the Shulchan Shaladam Mechaper. The Marsha in the Chidush HaGadol writes that the Maila V'Shulchan Shaladam is the Divrei Torah that you say on the Shulchan, based on the Mishnah in the third parak of Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Shlosh Shachla Al Shulchan Echad V'lo Amra Lav Divrei Torah Kilu Achlu Miziv Chemesim. That if three people eat at one table and they don't share Divrei Torah, it's as if they're eating from Ziv Chemesim. And quotes a pasuk of fine, but the Marsha says that's the Ikra Kapara. The Ikra Kapara is the Divrei Torah that is shared over the Shulchan, whereas Rav of the Rishonim say that no, the Ikra Kapara is based on the tzedakah that's given to aniyim. Now there is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins in Or Chaim Sim Kuf Pei Seif Hey that noagim lechasos hasakin b'shas birchas hamazon, that we have a minhag that we cover our knives when we bench. V'nagu shelo lechasoso b'shabbos v'yamtiv. But when it's Shabbos and Yantif, we don't cover the knives when we bench, then we leave the knives out. So where does that minhag come from? Beis Yosef quotes two possibilities. Number one, he says, relates to our Gemara, that Habarzel's Mekatzer Yemei HaAdam Ve'enu Bedin Shiyamunach Al HaShulchan Shedoma L'Mizbeach Shemarich Yemei HaAdam, that Barzel's is used, iron is used to be Mekatzer a person's life, it's used to make weapons, and therefore it's not appropriate to have that which shortens a person's life on the shulchan, which lengthens a person's life, because it says, "Lo sanif aleihem barzel." The shulchan is like the mizbeach, and the mizbeach is mechaper, and therefore the shulchan is mechaper, and therefore we consider it to be something that has the ability to lengthen a person's life. Magen Avraham writes, according to this, we understand the difference between a weekday and Shabbos. That on a weekday we cover the knife, on Shabbos we don't cover the knife, because since the whole idea is that shulchan is dom on the mizbeach, and you're not main of barzel on the mizbeach, mela on Shabbos, where it's usher to build the mizbeach on Shabbos, you're allowed to leave the sack. And the whole point is that the isur lahanafala barzel is in the building of the mizbeach, the construction of the mizbeach. They weren't allowed to cut the stones by using any sort of barzel implements. So it's all about a din of binyan mizbeach, of building the mizbeach. Well, there's no building of the mizbeach on Shabbos and Yantiv. Mele, there's no need to cover the knives on Shabbos and Yantiv. Mesh Chachma says, now if this the kiyum of this minhag is talui in a zman that's ra'ui for binyan mizbeach, and that's why in Shabbos and Yantif we don't have this minhag. So he says, then we shouldn't have this minhag at nighttime either, because you can't build the mizbeach at nighttime either. So it should be okay to leave the knives uncovered at nighttime as well. So the Mesh Chachma suggests that maybe the dimyon between a Shulchan Shel Adam and the Mizbeach is not really about the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's about a Bama Katana. And a Bama Katana you're allowed to build at night as well, but you're not allowed to build in Shabbos and Yantiv. So maybe that's the dimyon, and that's why the minig is to be makbid about this at nighttime, even though we're not makbid about this on Shabbos and Yantiv. Now this whole suggestion that the Mesh Chachma has, that, you know, after all, there's no binyon Mizbeach on Shabbos and Yantiv, nor is there at nighttime. So the Gemara in Shavuos Tesvavam Bey says, "Amar Abai minayin she'ein beis hamikdash b'layla." How do I know that you're not allowed to build the beis hamikdash at night? Shneimer pasuk says, "Ubayom hakim es hamishkan, b'yom hakimo b'layla ein makimo." That you're only allowed to erect the mishkan during the day, not during the nighttime. And that's how the Rambam paskins in the first parak of Hilchos Beis HaBechira. However, what if you did build the beis hamikdash at night? Is it a beis hamikdash? So it sounds like a strange thing to ask. What do you mean? If it's a Beis HaMikdash, it's a Beis HaMikdash. So Minchas Chinuch says exactly that. That b'diavad, if you built the Beis HaMikdash b'layla, it's not possible. It's only an iser. It's not possible. Not all the Echronim hold that way. Some of the Echronim assume that if it's usher to do, then it's a possible of Beis HaMikdash. That you're not allowed to use it as a Beis HaMikdash. You got to start over again. There is a machlokas in the Echronim if the binyan mizbeach is included in this halacha of not building the Beis HaMikdash at night. I mean, granted, it's It's enough in a Gemara that you're not allowed to build the Mikdash at night. Who says the Mizbeach is included? That you're not allowed to build the Mizbeach at night? The Meshchachma's whole Kasha, that, oh, you leave the knife uncovered on Shabbos and Yantav because you're not allowed to build on Shabbos and Yantav anyway, the Mizbeach, so you're not allowed to build the night. Well, is that true? Is that true that it's about the Mizbeach? We know it's about the Mikdash. So the Aruch Lener in Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph writes that it's only the Mishkan, that it's only the Mishkan needs Hakama B'yom V'lo B'layla. But the Mizbeach is not called the Mishkan. The Mizbeach is one of the Klei HaMishkan. It's considered a Klei that's within the Mishkan. It doesn't have it in the Mishkan itself. And mainly you're allowed to build the Mizbeach at nighttime as well. However, Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau proves that the Mizbeach is considered part of the actual structure of Mikdash and is not just one of the Klei HaMishkan. So according to the Aruch Lener, Kasha the Mesh Chachma is not really a Kasha. Because Mesh Chachma's whole Kasha is why are we makbid to cover the knives at night? After all, you're not allowed to build the Mizbeach at night either. According to the Aruch Lener, yes, you are. There's no issue of building the Mizbeach at night. It's only not allowed to build the Mishkan at night. But according to Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau, so then the Meshech Chachmas Kasha makes a little bit more sense. The other X factor over here is, even if you say there is no binyan belaila, you're not allowed to build the Mizbeach or the Mikdash belaila, that's only true in terms of any base of Mikdash that human beings are going to build. But there is a discussion of Rashi and Tosos, Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, that even though there's no binyan belaila, but the binyan la'asadavo may be yerid min ha-shamayim. It's going to come down from shamayim, and that could happen even at nighttime. So even at nighttime, we should have the minik to cover the knife, because there's a chance that the Beis HaMikdash is going to come down at night. As opposed to Shabbos and Yantiv, maybe even if it's Yerid Min HaShemayim, maybe it's not going to come down on Shabbos and Yantiv. So the Torah Tumim also asks that if you compare the Shulchan to the Mizbeach in regards to the Isra of Hanafas Barzal, so why don't we say that it's also, the Torah Tumim raises a very interesting question, says there's also an Isra to put Sa'or and Dvash on the Mizbeach. So why don't we say that it's also to put Sa'or and Dvash on our Shulchan also, if we're really going to compare it to the Mizbeach. So the truth is, that's not really the strongest kasha in the world, because there's no isser to put sa'ar and dvash on the Mizbeach. There's an isser to be maktir sa'ar and dvash on the Mizbeach. There's an isser to touch barzel onto the Mizbeach. So maybe whatever we put on our Shulchan is the equivalent of that which it touches the Mizbeach, but not the equivalent of that which is huktar ala Mizbeach. So that's why perhaps sa'ar and dvash is not a problem for us, even though barzel is in fact a problem. That's all one explanation of the Beis Yosef as to why it is that we cover the knives when we bench. Beis Yosef happens to quote another explanation as to why we cover the knives when we bench, and he quotes that there was once a maisa that someone got up to Bona Yerushalayim in benching, and he remembered the Churban Abayis, and he got so distressed by the Churban Abayis that he took the knife off the table and he stabbed himself. And because of that, we decide that we don't want any more accidents in the future. So out of an excess of caution, no one's allowed to leave their knives on the table. Now, according to that, you understand that makes a lot more sense why we only take it off at the time of benching, why we'd only cover the knives during benching and not during the rest of the meal. According to the reason that we've been discussing the whole time, though, that it's about Losan Fale and Barzel, so why is it that during the rest of the meal we have the knives on the table? So the obvious answer is, because what are you going to do? You need a knife. How are you going to eat without a knife? So because you need a knife, you got to have it on the table at some time. But as a gesture, we show that when we don't need it, we'll immediately remove it when we don't need it anymore. So the time of benching is when you don't need it anymore. That could be the pshat. Beis Yosef writes, that which we, on Shabbos and Yantiv, we don't cover it, according to the Tam of Rabbeinu Simcha, that the guy stabbed himself, so why should we be mechal between Shabbos and Yantiv? The guy is going to, just as likely to stab himself on Shabbos and Yantiv, as he is during the rest of the year. But according to the other reason, then it makes sense to be mechalik between Shabbos and Yantiv. So that's the discussion in the Achronim. Doesn't make any sense, according to Rabbeinu Simcha, to be mechalik between Shabbos and Yantif. So the Taz suggests that it's Efshar Ktsas Lomar, that on Shabbos and Yantiv a person is not Meitzar Kol Kach, that no one would, people are so happy on Shabbos and Yantiv because they're enjoying Onik Shabbos and Simchas Yantiv, that they wouldn't get to the point where they would stab themselves over Bona Yerushalayim. Okay, maybe not, but that's the suggestion of the Taz. And he has a discussion, what about the other reason? Does it really make sense to be Mechalik between Shabbos and Yantiv? Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter now. now. So we are holding right now at the two dots. Arba snifin shalzav hayusham. The shulchan had these four boards of gold. Minanimili, how do we know? So we said these four boards supported these pegs which supported the rods which supported the bread, and also separated between the breads on the lechem apanim, those rods, in order to allow the bread to remain fresh, that it shouldn't get moldy from each other, that the hot breads shouldn't cause each other to become moldy. So minanimili, how do I know about these four boards? Amrav k'tina amakra, pasuk says, vasisa ka'rusav, v'kapasav, v'kasasav, u'menakiyosav. Talks about four things that the Shulchan has. So what are these things? Ka'rusav elu defusin, kaposav elu vazichin, kasosav elu snifin, u'menakiyosav elu kanim. The ka'rus are the molds that the bread would fit into. The kapos are the spoons. The kasosav is these boards that we're talking about. And menakiyosav are the kanim, are the rods that would separate the chalos from each other. Asher yisach behen, shemesachin behen esalechem. That they would use these rods to cover the bread, to be misakech the lechem. Good, that's how we know from the pasuk that there actually existed such a part of the shulchan. So Moshe Rava lo sidra kanav lo nitilas and dochos as a Shabbos. V'isal kadai tuchta raisa amayin dochos as a Shabbos. But wait a second, you just quoted me a pasuk to show me that this is part of the shulchan and that it needs to be there. But we have a braisa that says that the sidur hakanim and the nitilas hakanim, the placing of the rods between the breads and the removal of the rods from between the breads, may not be done on Shabbos. But if you're going to say that it's a din d'oraisa, that it's supposed to be there, well then why can't it be done on Shabbos? After all, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to do it, so shouldn't that be docha Shabbos? So hadar amar Rava, Rava then changed his mind and he said, lav milsi yidamri. What I said before you could ignore. Ditznan klal amar Rabbi Akiva, kol malach shev sholal asos amar of Shabbos, ein adochas haShabbos. Any malacha you could have done from Erev Shabbos is not going to be docha Shabbos, and this is considered something that could have been done from Erev Shabbos, so even though it's a required midoraisa, but it's something that you could have done on Erev Shabbos, and mele, we're not going to allow it to be done on Shabbos. Why is the placement and removal of the rods considered something that you could do on Erev Shabbos? V'hani namid efshar delo dachi Shabbos alayu. Why? Time am I delo liyafish lechem. What's the whole reason you have the rods there in the first place? It's so that the bread shouldn't become spoiled. B'chi hai shiura lo miyafish. Well, with that amount of time that it's going to be left without the rods, I mean the amount of time over the course of one Shabbos, don't worry, it's not going to become spoiled anyway, and therefore it's considered a melacha that you could have done on Erev Shabbos. Kidetanya, like the Bryce says, Ketzad nichnas me'erev Shabbos v'shamtan u'manichal na'orcha shel shulchan, that you come in on Erev Shabbos, you remove them, you place the breads, you place them along the length of the shulchan, u'mosay Shabbos nichnas magbia rasha shel chala u'machnas kana tachta v'chozen magbia rasha shel chala u'machnas kana tachta. And then in Motzai Shabbos, you could insert the rods, and nothing will be lost from that. If you look at Rashi, Bechi Hai Shiura, what's this shiur, this amount of time that we have nothing to worry about? Bechi Hai Shiura Sheshomton Meir of Shabbos Arvis, Ulamachar Bechatzi Ayom Misalko, Umesader Acherim Below Kanim, Ulamotzai Shabbos Misader Akanim. Meaning it's not even a full 24 hour period, because Shabbos is the time when you replace last week's Lechem and you put in this week's Lechem. So Rashi's telling you, is think about it. If you remove the rods on Erev Shabbos, so last week's lechem is going to stay on for another few hours till we replace it, until we remove that lechem without rods. Okay, it can last a few hours without rods, and then you're going to put on this week's lechem on Shabbos, and also we'll go a few hours till Motzei Shabbos without the rods. You're not even having a full 24-hour period, and that's why we're not so worried. And that amount of shear of a chatzi yom lezu and a chatzi yom lezu lo miafsha, a chatzi yom for each set of lechem upon him, we're not worried that it's going to that it's going to spoil, that it's going to get moldy in any way. Now, let's go a little bit weiter. Arba chalos tricha shlosha shlosha kanim. Four chalos, four rows. Remember, there are six rows of chalos because there are two. There are six levels. There are two rows of. Two columns of six of six of the lechem upon them next to each other. So the four middle levels, of the six levels, not the top one, not the bottom one, the four middle ones, each require three kanim to support it from underneath it. They each require three of these rods to support from underneath it. Helyona ein tzrich al shnayim. The top one only needs two rods to support it because it's not as weighty, the fisha ein aleh masa, because there's nothing on top of it. So it only needs two rods underneath it to support it. Hatachtona ein tzrich al chalik, fisha shemunachas al tiyar l'shal shulchan. The bottom one doesn't need any rods because it's not placed on top of another loaf. The bottom one is obviously not on top of another loaf of bread. It's just placed on the top of the shulchan, so it wouldn't require any rods. So when you do the cheshbon of how many rods there are, it works out that there are you have 4 times 3 is 12, and then you have 1 times 2 is 2, so 12 plus 2, you have 14 in total, and that's the amount of rods that they would use for the shulchan. Period. Now we said that the Rishonim asked the kasha over here. We said that if you're going to say that the placing of the rods is a din d'oraisa, the Gemara said, well, why isn't it docha Shabbos? Till the Gemara said, oh no, because you could have done it from Erev Shabbos. So the Rishonim will ask, well, wait a second. Anyway, we paskin in general throughout Shas that there is a concept called ein shvus b'migdash. The Gemara native in Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph that there's a din of ein shvus b'migdash. Why is ein shvus b'migdash? So the Kesef Mishnah writes in Beis Abchira Perek Vav, it's because the Kohanim are Zrizim and they know how to be careful that it shouldn't lead to any Yisur Torah, so we don't have to make any sorts of Yisurim Drabanon in the Mikdash. That's how the Rivash writes in the Tshuva as well, and that answers the Kasha, the Mikdash David, who asks on the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yitasam and Beis, that we're Ma'achizin Asa'or B'maduros Beis Hamokar Im Chashecha, and the Gemara says because Kohanim are Zrizim, and the Kasha, the Mikdash David, why say Kohanim are Zrizim? Just say Angels B'Mikdash, that there's no Shavuos anyway. So if you say that it's one and the same, so they're interchangeable. You could say one time, one way or another, however you want to say it, the Ein Shavuos B'Migdash. Now the exact geder of Ein Shavuos Migdash hutra d'chuya, a topic for a different time, but an interesting topic in the Achronim. But the Rishonim ask over here, wait a second. If Ein Shavuos B'Migdash, why isn't the Siluk Hakadim and the Sidur Hakadim docha Shabbos B'Migdash? Meaning anyway, there's no iser. What are you doing? What's the iser of putting rods on bread? What's the iser in the first place? So it must be that it's some sort of drabanan of relating to bona, but it's a drabanan. Something like building a shulchan, like fashioning a kli, something like that. But it's a drabanan at most. So what kind of discussion is this? Is it docha Shabbos? Not docha Shabbos? There's no iser Shabbos. Yeah, the whole thing is only an iser drabanan. So Rashi over here says a very strange lashon. Rashi writes, "Amaylo dochi Shabbos viafal gav de ein shvus b'migdash." Even though there's no isurim drabban in the mikdash, hay tiltu lav mishum shvusu el demechzi kabon v'soser. This tiltle of the kanim, the moving of these rods, is not a shvus. It's just that it looks like bona v'soser. Well, mechzi kabon v'soser. What does that mean? He's not saying it is bona v'soser, he's saying it looks like bona v'soser. Looks like, sounds like drabanan. So what's the difference between that and a shvus? Rashi's not very clear as to what he means by this. He just says, yeah, it's Mexican bona v'soser, but that's not really a shvus. So the Rashash explains what Rashi means to do is to be mechalik between an iser, that the entire iser is purely midrabanan, which that we were matir in Mikdash, that's where we say ein shvus b'Mikdash, as opposed to an iser that the Chachamim asserted because it looks like an iser d'oraisa. Such a shvus that looks like an iser d'oraisa, and that's why they asserted it, would not be hutar b'migdash. So even though ein shvus b'migdash, but the iser of siluk and sidra kanim, which looks like bona v'soser, would be asr even in the mikdash because it looks like an iser d'oraisa. They quote something similar. The Ritva and Erev in Daf Kuf Beis and Beis discusses why they made a gezera to be lita lulav shabimikdash b'shabis shami yitlanu biyadu v'yavirenu arba amos brishus rabim. Why they weren't allowed to take the lulav in the mikdash and Shabbos, lest he carried 4 amos in rishus rabim. I ain't shvus b'migdash, so you have nothing to worry about. It's all nisid rabbanon. So the Ritva says because the sibas hatakana was a chashash that you're going to come to an iser Torah, that you're going to come to carrying it, and if there's a chashash shami avirin dalar amos brishus rabim, that's more chomer than a typical shvus. Typical shvus has nothing to do with the daraisa at all. It's purely an institution midrabanon. Problem is, how to most Yisroelim Drabanan have some relationship to Daraisa. How exactly are you magdir the chiluk of when it's closely associated enough to Daraisa where you would say that you wouldn't apply Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, and when it's far enough removed from Daraisa that you would say Ein Shvus B'Mikdash? So other Achronim explain Rashi. The Ola Shlomo explains that what Rashi means to say is that aside from the Isra of Tiltal of the Kanim of these rods, there's also an Isra of Nira Kabona V'Sosar. And since there's a double Isra Drabanan, there's an Isra of Mukta and an Isra of Nira Kabona V'Sosar, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, but Yesh Shvusim B'Mikdash. It doesn't say it like that, but they weren't gozer an Isra Drabanan. You're allowed to do an Isra Drabanan in the Mikdash, but you're not allowed to do a double Drabanan in the Mikdash. That's how the Ola Shlomo wants to explain. Tosfos says completely different than Rashi. He says that not every shvus was hutter in the Mikdash. There are some shvusim that are shvusim chamurim that they were never matir in the Mikdash. So it could be that that's why we don't apply the concept of ein shvus b'mikdash over here. Rav Shechter explains very nicely in Eretz HaTzvi that there's a difference between takanos drabanan and gzeros drabanan. That a takanah drabanan is something that would be the rabbanan institute a new mitzvah. Granted, called the tikkun rabbanan ken daraisa tikkun, but it's not out of a fear that you can come to violate some sort of iser. Whereas a gzeros drabanan is out of a fear that you're going to come to violate some sort of iser daraisa. Maybe that's the chilik between different types of shvus, when we would say that yesh shvus b'mikdash, when we would say ein shvus b'mikdash. Also, Mikdash David suggests that maybe the whole heter of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash is only on normal drabbanans. Maybe Muktzah is more chamer, and if the rods are Muktzah, maybe that's a bigger problem than an Ein Shvus B'Mikdash problem. So maybe that would be Aser. Okay, one more point, and then we'll move on to all the mathematics of today's Gemara, because there's not going to be much to say over there. That is, the Gemara said that on Motzai Shabbos you would go and take the challah and insert the rods into the challah. So Pasha Pshat in between the loaves, in between the lechem apanim. So the pashup shot is you'd go in on Motzai Shabbos and insert the rods right after Shabbos is over. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Tamidim Musaf in Parakei Halacha Yud Aleph writes, Lo sidra akadim v'lo netilas andochas on Shabbos. You're not allowed to set up the rods or remove them on Shabbos. Elamei erev Shabbos nichnas l'shom tov nosan l'orach ha'shulchan. On erev Shabbos you would remove them from in between the breads and put them across the length of the shulchan. And then he writes, Ube'echod b'Shabbos nichnas u'machnas esakanim ben achalos. And on Sunday, you'll come in and you'll put the rods in between the loaves. So the fact that he says Echad B'Shabbos sounds like it's not Motzai Shabbos. Sounds like you're coming in on Sunday. So Mikdash Shabbos says, what's the Rambam doing? Why would he not say Motzai Shabbos? Why would he say you're coming in on Sunday to do it? So the Mikdash Shabbos says that it could be that if you're going into the Heichal just for putting the kanim, that's not a navoda, and that would be an iser of bia rekanis, of coming in for no reason. So it could be that it's usher to come in on Motzai Shabbos just for that reason alone. And that's why the Rambam says you have to wait till Sunday when you're going in anyway, because there are no avodas that you're able to do at nighttime in the Heichal. So if the whole bia is only for the Sidur HaKanim, that's a bia rekanis. That would be absolutely usher. There would be no reason for such a thing. And that's why the Rambam says to wait till Sunday. Such a good answer, says Mikdash David, then now I have a problem with Rashi. Why does Rashi say you go into Motzai Shabbos? After all, isn't that a problem of Biyarei Kanis? So, and you can't say that the Chum were Mamed Divrayim B'Makom Lav, that the Chum say, yeah, you're allowed to violate Biyarei Kanis because we're making a Takanis Chacham that you need to get these rods in there in between the breads. No, because the Rabbanon are only Mamed Divrayim B'Makom Lav B'Shevi Al Taseh. But over here, you're going B'Kum Vaseh. You're going in B'Kum Vaseh to go and to insert the rods. That's not so Pasha. That you're not allowed to do so easily. So that's the Mikdash David's Kasha on Rashi. Okay, but he works in answering it based on Yerushalmi. No time for now. Let's go weiter. The Gemara now is going to discuss the different measurements of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning we always talk about things in terms of amos. How big is an amma? So in reality, important to realize, amma could mean three different things. There's what we call an amma katana, an amma beninus, and an amma gedola. An amma katana is an amma that's made up of five tefachim. That's what Rashi in Erev and Daf Gimel and Beis says, that an amma katana is five tefachim, which is 20 egodlim. good. And the Amma Beinanis is six Tfachim. That the Gemara is going to say later on, and that's Pashat the Gemara of Sugs and Babasra elsewhere, that an Amma Beinanis, an average Amma, is six Tfachim, which is 24 at Goldlim. That Amma Beinanis is also what we refer to as the Amma Shal Moshe in Meseches Kelim, in the 17th Parak of Kelim. The Amma Beinanis is called the Amma Shal Moshe. Moshe was Mesakin that Amma. Or the Amma Shal Kodesh, we refer to it sometimes, as the Amma Shal Kodesh. The two Amos that Yecheskel mentions, Amma, the Amma Tefach is the Amma that's an Amma and a Tefach, meaning that there is a third type of Amma, which is there's an Amma Gedola, but there are two types of Amma Gedola also. There's one type of Amma Gedola is an Amma Bashisha Tefachim V'Chatzi Etzba, which is Chatzi Etzba bigger than the Amma of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's Amma Bashisha Tefachim V'Etzba, which was one full Etzba greater than the Amma of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what they used in Shushan Abira, which is Shushan Abira not being, you know, the city, Shushan Abira being the room that was built by the Shara Mizrahi Shal Azara, by the eastern gate of the Azara. Remember, on Purim this year, Rashi spoke about Shushan Abira. He spoke about that room, not about Shushan Abira, the city. But anyway, not on Purim, the Daf Yomi on Purim this year had a Rashi that quoted Rashi, I don't think, spoke this year. But anyway, so that's that's the Amma that's used very rarely. We talk about that Amma, the Amma Gedola. Mostly we talk about the Amma Ketan and the Amma Beinanis. Now, against that backdrop, Ketan Hasam, we have Mishnah. Ramei Ramah Kol Amma Shai B'Migdash, Kol Amma Shai B'Migdash Beinonios, Chutz Mimizbech Azov, Akeren Vasov V'Yisod. All the Amos in the Mikdash were Amma Beinonios. Well, whenever we say Amma, we always mean a six tefach Amma, except for the Amma used to describe the Mizbeach Hazav and the Keren Soviv and Yesod of the big Mizbeach. Those were Amos Ketanos. Those were five tefachim Amos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amos Binyan Shisha Tefachim, Vishal Kelim Chamisha. And Rabbi Yehuda says, now in general, the rule in the Mikdash is, whenever we describe structurally the Mikdash itself, it's always a six tefach Amma, but whenever we describe the Kelim in the Mikdash, it's always a five tefach Amma. It's all Sugya Mabasar figuring out how they fit everything they needed to fit in the Aron based on each version of how many tefachim made up the 2.5 amos of length and of the aron. Was it really, does 2.5 mean 15, or does it mean 12.5? How did they fit the luchos in there and the shivrei luchos and all? Good, so that's all discussion of Maseches Basra. But that's a machlokas tanaim. Om Rabbi Yochanan shnei mikra echad darshu. Both tanaim get their shitos from the same pasuk. Ve'elam itos amzbech ba'amos ama ama v'tofeach v'chika ama va'ama rocha v'gvul al sfas sasav v'zeres echad v'zer gava. That's the pasuk. So the Gemara dashes each piece of the pasuk. There are going to be three explanations of this pasuk. We're only going to do 1.5, maybe 2 today. Now, first explanation of the pasuk: Chika ama ze yisod, ama rochav ze soviv, ugvul al sfas soviv zeres echad elu kranos ze gava mizbech ze mizbech azav. So dafka refers to the soviv, the yisod, the soviv, the kranos, and the mizbech azav in the pasuk. So meir savar zeu ba'ama bas chamisha. That's where you have Amma bas chamisha tefachim, dafka by those items. Hakol amos kelim ba amma bas sheish, but every other amma to measure kelim will be an amma bas sheish tefachim, will be a six tefach amma. Rabbi Yehuda savar kazeh yuhu kol amos kelim. And now we're giving this as the example that this five tefach amma should be the same way you measure all amos of kelim. Whenever we describe kelim, it should always be five tefach amos. So kasal d'daitach. So that's how we were explaining that they both get their shita from that same pasuk. Now let's figure out the measurements. Now we're going to assume, what does this mean that in the Yisod, the Sovev, and the Kronos, that we're talking about an Amma that's five Tfachim? Which measurement? The Yisod going vertically or going horizontally? So what we mean is that from the Yisod of the Mizbeach, which is the base that's one Amma off the ground, up until the Sovev, which is five Amos higher up the Mizbeach, when we say five Amos, we mean an Amma that's five tefachim. Umay chika amma va'am rochav, hachi kamar. Michika amma va'ad rochav, ba'amma bas chamisha. We're saying from the Yisod to the Sovev are five tefach amos, which means you have a total of 25 tefachim from the Yisod to the Sovev. Gova mizbech kamahavi. How big was the mizbech entirely? entirely. Eser amos was 10 amos. Shis b'nei chamisha, chamisha, v'arboi b'nei shisa, shisa. But not all 10 amos were equal. Unbelievable. The lower 6 were 5 tefach amos. The upper 4 were 6 tefach amos. So the upper 4 were almost as big as the lower 6. So mizbeach kamahavi, chamishin v'arba. How big was the mizbeach then? The mizbeach was 54 tefachim. Palgei the mizbeach kamahavi. How big was half of the mizbeach? Esrim v'shiva. So 27 tefachim is half of the mizbeach. So mikronos v'atsoviv kamahavi. From the kronos of the mizbeach until the soviv was a total of 4 amos, but that was the top part. Those were 6 tefach amos. So how many tefachim was that? Esrim arba. So it was 24 tefachim from the top of the mizbeach all the way down to the soviv. So kama batzi l'palgei the mizbeach. How much lower than that was the halfway mark on the mizbeach? Tlasa, another 3 tefachim beneath that. Utnan, and we have a Mishnah that says that there was a chutzal sikra, there was a strand that went around, a line that went around the exact midpoint of the mizbeach to be mechalik between the blood that's supposed to go on the top half and the blood that's supposed to go on the bottom half. Ella the tanya, this is all part of the kasha. When you're doing the avod of the ola sa'of, you go up the ramp, you turn on the soviv, and you go to the keren dromus mizrachis. Umalik asroshu, you do malik of the bird, mimolarpa, from the back of its neck, umavdil, and then you separate the head of the bird, umotzes dam al kir mizbeach, and you squeeze the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach, v'masol matam miraglav afilu ama achas ksheira. And if you have the blood go, now this is the ola sof, it's got to go on the top half. But if it's even an amma beneath where you're standing on the soviv, it's still kosher. But wait a second, we just said you only have up until 3 tefachim below the soviv, if all our calculations are correct. Hakayav elyon l'matam yishnei tefachim. So you're giving him two extra tefachim by letting him go an amma below. Granted, the amma that we're talking about that you're allowed to go below is a 5 tefach amma, but you're still giving an extra 2 tefachim. He's going to be 2 tefachim below the line. So that's no good. So says the Gemara, okay, our whole analysis was wrong. Ela chika amma knisa. Amma rochav knisa, gvul al sasasvaviv knisa. When we talk about an amma bas chamisha tefachim, we're talking about not the height as it being measured by an amma bas chamisha tefachim, but the knisa being mentioned by the area that was flat of the soviv, the area of the soviv where you would walk on, the area of the yesod that was flat. That's what we're talking about as chamisha tefachim. Mizbeach kamahavalei shisin. So now the entire mizbeach was really how tall? It was 60 tefachim tall. It was 10 amos. Each of those amos were 6 tefach amos. Palgi the mizbeach kamahavi. How much is half the mizbeach? Plus, and it's 30. Mikronos ratzav kamahavi chavdalid. From the kronos to the soviv, it's 24 tefachim. Kama batzul palgi the mizbeach shisha. How many more tefachim do you have left till you get down to the halfway point of the mizbeach? Another 6 tefachim. Utzana masal the matiragul afilu amachas ksherin. That fits very beautifully that you have up until one amah down to the to put the blood of the ola self. It would work out beautifully. So b'mayu kimta b'knisa says Gemara, but wait a second, we still run into trouble over here also, because where are we using 5 tefach amos describing the knisa of the soviv and of the yisod? Umimatzus mukma la b'knisa. Can you really say that? V'atnan, we have a mishnah mizbeach ha'yishlosh m'shayim ha'shlosh m'shtayim. The base of the mizbeach was 32 amos by 32 amos. And again, keep in mind we're talking about 6 tefach amos. Allah ama v'kanas amos zeh yisod. You go up 1 6 tefach amos. In 1 5 tefach amma, that's where we're understanding it now, that's the yisod. Nimtza shloshim ha-shloshim. Turns out that once you're on the yisod, once you're up the yisod already, how much space is left that the mizbeach takes up? 30 by 30 ammas, because you take away that 1 amma of the yisod. But wait a second, if you're only taking out a 5 tefach amma of the yisod on each side, so you really have more than 30 by 30 ammas. You have shloshim shnei tefachim avi. The mizbeach is actually taking up 30 ammas plus 2 tefachim. Visu, and furthermore, you go weiter, it says, Allah Chamesh, you go up another 5 amos on the mizbeach, those are 6 tefach amos. V'konas amos, zeh soviv. You go in another 5 tefach amos, that's the soviv. Nimsa esrim shmona, esrim shmona. The Mishnah says, you're left with 28 amos by 28 amos. No, you're not. It's esrim shmona v'arba tefachim avi. Since you keep cutting out 2 tefachim at each step, because you're cutting out a tefach on each side for the amos yisod and amos soviv, so it's actually going to be 28 amos and 4 tefachim. V'chit amen, lest you say, keep it to lavi amos, lo chashuv le'makom, that since it's not a full amma, it doesn't count as a makom, kronos amma mizeh, va'amma mizeh, nimsa esr m'sheish, al esr m'sheish, well then when you go up the next level, when you say that the kronos are one amma in, and therefore you have 26 ammas of the center part of the mizbeach, not true, esr m'sheva havu, which should be 27 ammas, because now you've had two extra tfachim on the yisod, two extra tfachim by the sovev, and two extra tfachim by the kronos. So 2 plus 2 plus 2, that's 6 extra tfachim, that's a whole amma. So now we're really being imprecise. It's not 26 amos of space on top of the mizbeach. It's 27 amos of space. Says Gemara, lo duck. So maybe it wasn't. We weren't being exactly precise when we were going through the measurements. Okay, I guess we'll have to stop there. We'll pick up middle discussion.